I have a real struggle right now, and that's where it put me in this very depressed kind of state. And I don't know that we have time right now, but just to make you aware of the struggle. So I have two really big situations in my life with good stories, and I'm not quite sure how to bring it all together. And I guess this is probably just time working it out and whatever, but one of them is my son with his needs, and the other is a very dramatic situation and breakup with my ex-husband, infidelity and all of that, and there's so much juiciness in that. But also part of me is like, I don't know how much of this I really want to share publicly, but it's a big part of my growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how to tread through that.
Yeah.
But you and I could talk about that individually.
Yeah. Okay. So, great. Let's move on.
My genie gem is you are enough. Alicia is an actual person. She's this beautiful young woman who has this great smile and this wonderful personality and is incredibly insecure, nervous, afraid to kind of interact, looks down a lot. And I see this immense beauty in her, and I know that feeling of self-hatred very well. And I look at her and I think, gosh, it's so sad. Like, I want to reach out to that person and let her know that, try to offer her something to get her to change that path, even just the slightest amount. So my audience I framed really in regards to this individual. And I think some of this is common to most people. That's where I don't want to assume. I mean, you know, if I'm talking to Richard Branson, he's probably thinking, gosh, what do I like about this? Not much. But I think generally there's a kind of a common piece there.
Mm-hmm.
So my call to action is to let go of judgment. And I don't have it stated as self-judgment, because in the three things, I actually have four. I'll try to narrow it down. That I think people need to know. One is, the first is that there really is no other alternative than you are perfect. Because there, you know, we have this idea that there's like this cosmic measuring stick, but there isn't. I mean, the only measuring sticks are the ones that other people hand to us. It's just us, me versus you, and you and you. It's not, you know, there's no Buddhist measuring stick. There's no God measuring stick. Don't tell the Christians that.
I was about to say.
Yeah, it's always comes back into a religious thing. You get what I'm saying. That just by our nature, we are perfect. What else could we possibly be? The other is that we happen to be the unlucky recipients of, I think, a uniquely human construct, which is called duality. The idea that there's good and bad, and that rich is good and poor is bad, and light is good and dark is bad, and you know, you can go down the list, and that we're always comparing ourselves with this duality. But when you look in the natural world, for instance, I think a snake in a bowl doesn't sit there because the sun's not coming out, like, oh God, this is so bad, why doesn't God love me? The sun hasn't shone into the opening of my den for weeks and months, and just, it is what it is. It waits until the sun shines in and then it warms up enough to move and go hunting. So that duality is one of those pieces that for me ties in. And the key why I said I didn't put self-judgment is because I think the last part is if you're okay, we're all okay. And we've got to let go of that favorite habit we have of looking at somebody going, man, I'm glad I'm not that person. You know, or sitting down with friends and talking about our coworkers or whatever it is that it's just seems to be such a natural habit. We have to allow that every single person is okay. And that's a big stretch. Mm-hmm. So I've got my own way I've manipulated around that. Those are my...
And do you want to say again anything about where you're struggling or where you feel stuck?
Yeah, I feel like... So I think about it every day. And I do it a lot while I'm driving. Not recording, but driving. So I'll start these little monologues about, you know, what this might sound like. And I feel a little bit like the rock in the river and the logs keep bumping into it. And it's like, oh yeah, that log bumps into me. And I think, oh, that actually kind of makes sense. And I'll talk about it a little bit and it floats downstream and doesn't make sense anymore.
Wait, say that again? You're the rock in the river?
Yeah, and these ideas come, you know, they're logs uh-huh. like that run into me. And uh-huh. I resonate with it for a moment. But uh-huh. then it's like there's all these logs, and they bump into me one at a time, but they're not coming at me like, here you go, and here's this nice pattern, and it all fits together. Uh-huh. So I've got a lot of ideas of what it would look like, but I haven't found that tying together uh-huh. yet. Uh-huh. And the stories I'm completely lost on.
Uh-huh. Good. So I would say the logs, like the logs that you bumped into, and I'm going to say this for all of you. I was going to say this later, but I suggest finding a blank wall, an empty wall in your house, or a whiteboard, or something, a space, where and some sticky notes, and jot down, like, so you are crafting this speech, you're in this path, you're in this process, and you're opening to the universe to like deliver the wisdom and the stories and the evidence and whatever it is that you need to craft the speech. So just like be open and then walk around your days just like open to receiving and pay attention to the logs, you know, and jot them down and stick them on the wall. So you're collecting the stories, you're collecting the images, you're collecting the ideas, you're collecting the logs, and just collect them. Like, let this really be a process of collecting. And slowly, slowly, the shape will take place. So it's like we're working from two directions where we're engineering this talk, and we're thinking about the specifics of the architecture of it. You know, like, this is the call to action, and this is the path to get there. And then we're also just like, totally open to the mystery of the process, you know, so kind of like hold both ends of that.
Okay, thank you.
And then I would say also for your call to action, let go of judgment. What does that look like? Like, what does it look like to let go of judgment? What does it mean?
Well, let me start with an example. Say a friend of mine quits his job. And there's a natural inclination to say, depending on the perspective, man, that's just not a smart thing to do. He's got a family to feed, blah, blah, blah. And in that case, letting go of judgment is looking at that and saying, okay, that's his choice. And it's different from the choice I would have made. But it's not better or worse. It's not bigger or smaller. It's just a different choice. Mm-hmm. And there's that. That's one of those logs for me, is that there's a lot of difference in the world, and that's good. It's great. We're all different. It's wonderful. And yet we have this tendency to want to put ourselves relative to somebody else based on those differences. And that's where we get things go askew.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's letting go of judgment. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, yeah.
And I think it's important to get really specific about what is letting go of judgment look like, what you just said. You're making a different choice. So the call is make a different choice. Like here, when this happens, make a different choice. You know, so how specific you can get. Because you know what it means to let go of judgment for you, but that's pretty vast. So like you need to tell the audience, here's how you here's what it looks like to let go of judgment. Yeah. And then the things you're going to do is, you know, the three things are going to be, here's how, and here's why, and here's what happens when you don't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
I have an example. Are you familiar with the work of John DeMartini? Mm-hmm. He talks about putting ourselves and other people in a pit or on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly doing that. Either we're in a pit and so on. If we do it to other people, then the reverse is we're doing the opposite to ourselves. So if we put other people on a pedestal, we've put ourselves in a pit. Mm-hmm. And if we put somebody else in a pit, we've put ourselves in a pedestal. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice visual for the call to action, if you want to steal it from him. But I mean, you know, you can reference his name.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I like it too. It really helped me hearing that.
Right, so that's the kind of thing to collect, is like things you've heard from other people that take you that have taken you to your genie gem, you know. So collect those quotes from other people and stories you've heard and movies you've watched and the places in your life where you've learned this. Collect those, grab those, put them on your wall, you know. And then the other thing, I think the thing that's going to make it not a, what did you say, a Dr. Phil.